Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtopradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, voter suppression. Republicans have advocated legislation that targets minorities in an attempt to discourage them from voting or make it difficult for them to vote. This is not the first time this has happened. Every method of voting that helped get Obama and Biden into the White House and Trump out of the White House has got to go or be made extremely difficult to do. So what the hell is voter suppression? I use Wikipedia. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. I'm going to suppress your ability to vote. I'm going to hold down, hold back, you know. So voter suppression is a strategy used to influence the outcome of an election by discouraging or preventing specific groups of people from voting. It is distinguished from political campaigning in that campaigning attempts to change likely voting behavior by changing the opinions of potential voters through persuasion and organization. Basically, I'm going to talk you into voting for me, right? That's campaigning, right? Voter suppression just takes away your right, your ability to vote, or makes it very difficult and discouraging for you to vote, right? And so one of the ways they do this is by a thing called redistricting, right? Or gerrymandering, same thing, right? Okay, so this is from redistrictingonline.org, right? Redistricting or districting or gerrymandering, gerrymandering, right? Redistrict means again to another district, right? Redistrict. District is an area. We're going to redistrict this. We're going to change, right? We're going to change the district, right? It's the manipulation of political district boundaries to benefit an identifiable group such as a racial or ethnic group or political party. Very important and essential in today's topic of voter suppression, because of the methods that they're using are so overt. They're done in a way which they say it's not a violation of the Constitution, even that is the Voting Rights Act is basically null and void. That's some old stuff. Anyway, I don't know how people say that, but we're going to get to that. From The Guardian, while redistricting gives politicians in some states the opportunity to redraw political boundaries. Why the hell would you want to do that, right? Reappointment means there are more districts to play with. Yes, politicians are playing with your lives, people. After each U.S. census, each of the 50 states is awarded a share of the 435 House seats based on population. States gain or lose seats in the process. All right? Republican-controlled legislatures will have the power to wedge the new districts almost wherever they see fit, being allowed to redistrict. They're going to do it in a way that it favors them, right? Stretching a map to ring out an area, an extra seat, right? They're going to stretch the map in a way they're going to create another seat, which is another vote, as you'll find out. Could leave incumbents vulnerable, right? You could lose your people who are in office, could be vulnerable because they didn't change the boundaries, didn't they? Basically stack the deck, built from the bottom, and changing the rules of the game as they play with your life. Wake up, America, because your lives, our lives, are being played with as if we were toys or less than a toy, maybe popsicle sticks. Since a 2010 Republican effort called Red Map Harvest dozens of extra seats, right? 2010. They have been doing this for a minute, right? The gerrymandering threat has redoubled the urgency of advancing voting rights legislation that passed the U.S. House but has stalled in the Senate. Is that because it's a Republican-controlled, you know, does that have anything to do with Republican control? This is why they say, this is why we have to pass the For the People Act, which is federal legislation that with one pen stroke by the president, we create independent commissions in all 50 states, end voter suppression, and restore representative democracy in the United States, they said. Okay? All right, so basically they're having a war, right? So there appears to be a serious struggle between the Democrats and the Republicans, right? It's like a civil war without weapons. And, you know, I don't know if they're using weapons behind the scenes, and, you know, I don't really know. I don't have boots on the ground. I don't have smoking men, you know, deep throats or nothing like that give me any information. I'm only privy to what I can research. So, anyway. Like we have a civil war without the weapons anyway, right? Republicans are attempting to a political coup by taking the majority of seats in both houses, the Senate and House of Representatives, local offices, and the White House or presidency, right? So seems like a takeover here. And the Republicans saying we're taking over and this is how we're going to do it, right? I need that that song. This is how we do it, because these guys are doing it, and it's not even covertly. It's not even like it's in the open, and it's ridiculously open and absurd. Yet they're able to do it. As we know, presidents are not voted in office by the popular vote or individual vote, right? That's not how presidents get elected, right? They're elected into office by the electoral vote, right? So, you know, because I was wondering, what is it? Because, you know, I'm like, they're going to do what they want to do, Democrat or Republican, you know? And we always, I know people I know, we always thought that, well, it doesn't matter. It's just a matter of how you want to get raped. You want to get raped with taking out the lunch, a drink, and a lubricant. Or you want to go just get straight raped by which party, you know what I'm saying? One party is just a little rougher than the other. Just to use that as a metaphor of the process, just voting for the lesser evil. Anyway, seems like these two demons are having a war. The Democrat Party and the Republican Party. So what is the Electoral College, right? I had a problem with the Electoral College, but hey, it's getting worse than that. Apparently, the vote counts for something, just not the way that we think that it counts, right? And I'll discuss this on another show. And I see why it's so important to suppress the votes of certain people for Republicans. Each state is assigned a number of electors to the Electoral College, right? Based on the state's delegation to the United States Congress. There are 50 states. Each state has two members of the U.S. Senate. So there are 100 senators, right? Each state, right? Get two representatives, right? There are 435 members of the U.S. House of Representatives, who are appointed by state by the state on the basis of population, with each state having a minimum of one. You get at least one of these guys, right, in the House of Representatives, right? Therefore, of the least populous populated states, such as Alaska, Wyoming, right, they send three members to Congress, right? Two senators and one representative, right? The most populous state, California, sends two senators and 53 representatives for a total of 55. That's a lot of points. So California's vote in Electoral College is therefore 55. So if you're running for president, you must win California vote. This means that all 50 states send a total of 535 members to the Congress, right? How the Electoral College works, right? Instead of voting directly for a presidential candidate like we think we doing when we vote, voters in the 50 states and the District of Columbia vote for a slate of electors. So you're voting for electors and whatever amount of vote that they have, right? Electoral votes that they come with, right? Who are pledged to vote for a particular presidential ticket, right? The president and the vice president, right? So the political parties in each state select a slate of electors. The political party in each state, that's very important. Political party is very, very important in this whole conversation. Because if you're Republican, you want to control this, right? You want to, the electors selected by the party of the candidate winning the most popular votes in a state become the electors for that state. The electors, right? The political parties in each state select a slate of electors. The electors selected by the party of the candidate winning the most popular votes in a state become the electors for that state, right? Instead of just tallying the total number of votes cast across the nation, the presidential elections and votes are counted state by state. That's why you see on the news, oh, he got Florida. If he gets Florida, he's going to win. Because they're not even counting your popular vote. They're counting only who wins the popular vote in Florida. That's very, very important. I always thought they need to get rid of the electoral vote. The winner of the popular vote in each state is awarded the electoral vote in that state, right? The candidate winning the majority of electoral votes wins. The candidate winning the majority of electoral votes wins, not popular vote. This is what controlling the vote is all about. Okay, given this arrangement, it is possible to win the popular vote, the people. You have, it say you got 1,000 voters, and you, and say 700,000 voted for one candidate, and 3,000 voted for another one, but that the other candidate, and that might, this might be a little off, but the other candidate, let's just make it more close, let's make it 4,000. One candidate got 500, and another candidate got 400, right? It's 1,000 votes. So the one with 400 just won the states that had the most electoral votes, even though the one with the 500 votes had the most people, actual people voting for him. It's more people saying we want him. It's 100 more. But since he didn't get the electoral votes, the amount of electoral votes he needed to win, then he loses the election, even though the people voted for him to be president, or her, as we do it nowadays, all right? So, one additional feature in the process that worries people every time a viable third-party candidate is running for president is that when no candidate wins the majority of electoral votes, very, very important here, when no candidate wins the majority of electoral votes, the election is decided by the House of Representatives. So you want to control the House. If you're Republican, you don't really care about the Democratic process. You want to control the House. The only way you can control the House is control the voting by targeting and suppressing votes. And you get the control thing because you get votes going your way, more votes going your way, right? In such a case, the House delegations from each state would have one vote each. The candidate with the support of the most House delegations would be declared the winner. Okay, so if you got a Republican-controlled House, who do you think is going to win that? Who's going to get that vote? Right? Got a Republican-controlled voting system. You get the deck stacked against Democrats. Who do you think is going to get that? Anyway, all you have to do is win the states with the most electoral votes to be elected to the presidency. That is also why the Republicans want to control voting. They are stacking the deck, dealing from the bottom, and changing the rules to favor their party and interest groups. The popular vote does not elect the president. If you control the voting, you control who is elected. If you control who is elected, you control the political process or perpetuate the absence of a political process. The presence of an abundance of laws and statutes are indicative of a society or political system that is in constant motion, change, unrest, disunity, need of redirection and instruction. There appears to be an attempt of one group to get their needs and desires met while controlling the needs and desires of others by controlling who votes and who gets elected and what laws are created or discarded. We call that a dictatorship where I'm from. I don't know what y'all call it. That has nothing to do with democracy. What little bit of democracy we have in this country. This is a blatant assault on the so-called democratic process. What little democratic process we had is being assaulted. If those laws or ordinances disenfranchises members of society or any society, those laws and ordinances are criminal, unethical, and immoral. A society that is insensitive to the humanity of others or a segment of that society is tyrannical and oppressive. Change may be indicative of a society or political system that is constantly evolving, but a society or political system that evolves by disenfranchising, right, and oppressing people is a society that is devolving, not evolving. From dictionary, evolve is developed gradually, especially from a simple to a more complex form. Devolving means descent or to go down, descent or degeneration, right, to a lower or worse state where we're headed, okay? So not every so-called political evolution or change serves the best interests of everyone. The purpose of laws should be to perpetuate the goodwill of the people, not the special interests of a particular entity, group, or political party. When people are allowed to dictate their will through the law, the people are living under the tyranny of a dictatorship. My question is, if Republicans are developing or devolving legislation that will impede the ability of minorities to exercise their Fifth Amendment right to vote, why isn't the U.S. government intervening? The logical answer is the U.S. government supports the Republican Party's agenda, or at least a part of the U.S. government does. If the Republicans are set on bringing back Jim Crow disenfranchisement, just said you don't know what disenfranchisement means, is basically they're going to stop you from getting the rights you deserve in this country. It's going to be basically F you. All right? That's what it means. You're being disenfranchised. Like, I go in your pocket when you go to the store for your parents. I go in your pocket disenfranchising you, all right? You trying to go to school, you see go because I'm there. I'm intimidating you. You can't get an education because I'm in school bullying you. That's being disenfranchised. So same beat here. So they're going to take away your ability to vote and participate in the political process, to have any ounce or milligram, I guess, of power. Reduce you to nothing. You don't count. We do what we want to do to you, and we make it law, and that's it. Once it becomes law, we roll over you like a steamroller. Right? Same thing in slavery. It made it, they enslaved people, made it law, rolled over people for 400 years, you know, as less than people, not citizens, second-class citizens, you know, just, you know, well, we know the story. We're not going to get into that whole story, even though that story is very relevant to what I'm saying tonight, what we're talking about. Tonight, because Jim Crow is a product of that ideology, that racist white supremacist ideology. So if Republicans are set on bringing back Jim Crow disenfranchisement, it simply proves that you cannot trust government. Any party that advocates impairing, limiting or denying citizens their right to vote are a threat to democracy and the U.S. Constitution. I'm not sure any of that means anything nowadays from what I'm seeing, from what I'm observing. I don't think democracy means that much, and it seems like the Constitution is really not meaning that much, at least not around voting. They say history sometimes repeats itself, and that is exactly what appears to be happening again. Maybe it never stopped. If your vote doesn't count, these Republicans didn't get the memo, or they must have torn up the memo. Apparently, they are above the law and above ethics and morals, which without those ethics and morals, those who are subjected to their lawlessness reside in a system of uncertainty, tyranny, and chaos. Because slaves didn't vote. And even after that, their vote didn't count, and they suppressed their ability to vote with intimidation and all kinds of nonsense. But you're going to see that stuff coming right back, and it's coming back through legislation. It has come back through legislation, and more of it's coming. Because I'm going to read some things that you ain't going to believe what time it is. But then again, I ain't going to say that. We know what time it is. We know what time it is. I'm not even going to say that we in England believe what time it is. There's nothing that we won't believe. We want to believe what we see and what we hear, what we experience. Whatever the case, the arrogance of racism, greed, and political gerrymandering has reared its ugly head and is showing its teeth again simply because there is no consequence for their actions. Guys are just doing what they want to do. Politicians, they're supposed to work for you. Don't tax dollars pay for these guys, pay these guys salaries. How many people would hire people who are doing all this nonsense? Anyway, some people would, though, because some people out here are just evil. Gerrymandering and redistricting is the practice of dividing or arranging a territorial unit into election districts in a way that it gives one political party an unfair advantage in elections. If you know that, how are these guys able to do it? Why do they have the nerve, the audacity to even present that in some legislation, you know, to do that? Just, you know, anytime somebody's like changing redistricting voting districts, that's a red flag. And they should be afraid to do that, but they're not. There's no fear. The fact that anybody can get authorization for committing such an egregious violation of a citizen's rights speaks volumes to how far we have come and how far we have to go in the good old USA. From the National Park Service. Excuse me. On August 6, 1965, Lyndon Johnson, right? Lyndon Baines Johnson passed the Voting Rights Act, right? The Voting Rights Act of 1965 expanded the 14th and 15th Amendments by banning racial discrimination in voting practices. The act was a response to the barriers that prevented African Americans from voting for nearly a century, right? That's 100 years. That's 1868, emancipation. Anyway, on March 30th, 1870, the 15th Amendment to the Constitution was passed. It stated that a citizen's right to vote cannot be taken away based on their race, right? Following the Compromise of 1877 and the infamous Jim Crow laws were introduced. That's right, that's during the so-called Reconstruction era, right? After the South lost the war and, you know, just told that these leaders let them slaves go, they free men, we're going to enslave them in a different way. And of course, they didn't say it like that, but that's what happened, right? These laws were barriers at the state and local level that prevented African Americans from voting, right? Jim Crow laws, right? White supremacists used intimidation, literacy tests, and poll taxes to scare away African American voters, right? That was used by the white supremacists, right? In 1964, right, the Civil Rights Act was signed into law on June 2nd. This law focused on segregation and employment discrimination, right? And segregation and employment discrimination. It failed to fully address voting issues faced by African Americans, they said. I always have a problem personally with people just creating all these different laws. When you know, you have laws against intimidating people. You have I'm gonna go ahead with this show. On June 23rd, 1964, the 24th Amendment to the Constitution was passed. This amendment addressed fair voting and barred poll taxes. It should have never been allowed. And they should have arrested the people that put all this Jim Crow. But that's just me being idealistic, because it's nobody. They already fought a war breaking the South, and I'm sure they nobody, and they didn't fight the war to free the slaves. Free the slaves was just a way of humbling the South. So I know nobody was in the these white guys not in the business of going to war again for some black people. So a lot of bad stuff happens to some black folks, and nobody cares. As what happens to people who have no power, no way to make people accountable for their actions, right? Especially when the state, the sovereign nation is against you, right? Anyway, on June 23rd, 1964, the 24th Amendment to the Constitution was passed. This amendment addressed fair voting and barred poll taxes. It was now illegal to make anyone pay to have the right to vote. It's ridiculous. Despite the new news, the new law, only 2% of African Americans were registered to vote. In March 1965, Martin Luther King Jr. led marches in Selma, Alabama, to dramatize the voting issue. Selma had a record of using violence to prevent African Americans from voting, right? Shortly after the marches, President Johnson sent a voting rights bill to Congress to remove race-based restrictions, right? This bill was quickly adopted by Congress and signed into law. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 made discriminatory voting practices illegal. Wasn't it wrong from the jump? You had to pass a law. You trying to tell me that wasn't wrong from the jump? Well, people don't understand that they're doing the wrong thing, that what they're doing is wrong. You got to pass a law for everything. Okay. It is considered to be one of the most far-reaching pieces of civil rights legislation, from the New York Times. The Supreme Court effectively struck down the heart of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 by a 5-4 vote, freeing 9 states, mostly in the South, to change their election laws without advance federal approval, because that was not allowed without advance federal approval review, right? Yes, that's correct. Anyway, you probably don't know that. I just found this out. I'm not a political person myself. Just find out a lot of stuff, sharing it with you guys. The court divided along ideological lines, and the two sides drew sharply different lessons from the history of the civil rights movement and the nation's progress in rooting out racial discrimination in voting. At the core of the disagreement was whether racial minorities continue to face barriers to voting in states with a history of discrimination. I'm going to say it one more time. The core of the disagreement, right? The core of the disagreement. This is the Supreme Court reviewing, for some reason, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Right? The core disagreement was whether the racial minorities continue to face barriers to voting in states with a history of discrimination. What the? The majority held that the coverage formula in Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, originally passed in 1965, had most recently updated by Congress in 1975, was unconstitutional. Y'all heard that? Did anybody know that happened? The section determined which states must receive clearance from the Justice Department or the federal court in Washington before they made minor changes to voting procedures, like moving a polling place, or major ones like redrawing, gerrymandering electoral districts. All right? Section 5, which sets out the pre-clearance requirement, was originally scheduled to expire in 5 years. Congress repeatedly extended it for 5 years in 1970, 7 years in 1975, and 25 years in 1982. Congress renewed the act in 2006 after holding extensive hearings on the persistence of racial discrimination at the polls, again extending the preclearance requirement for 25 years. All right, so that's 2006 and 25, but it relied on data from the 1975 reauthorization to decide which states and localities were covered. So that's kind of say that's old data, I guess. The Supreme Court had repeatedly upheld the law in earlier decisions, saying that the preclearance requirement was an effective tool to combat the legacy of lawlessness conduct by Southern officials bent on denying voting rights to blacks. I always wonder why every time they speak about racism and just denying blacks rights, they always point to the Southern people, like blacks, you know, in the North. Just loved up there, you know, like they, you know, you can't get this in the North. Don't worry about it. Here's my white daughter. You want to date her? Fine. You know, why do they leave the North out of this type of behavior and this ideology? Anyway, it's just weird to me. The current coverage system, Chief Justice Roberts wrote, is based on 40-year-old facts having no logical relationship to the present day. 40-year-old, yeah, that's ancient, ain't it? 40-year-old facts having no relationship to present day. President Obama, whose election as the nation's first black president was cited by critics of the law as evidence of the voting rights law, right? President Obama, right, election as the nation's first black president was cited by critics of the law as evidence that it was no longer needed. We no longer need the Voting Rights Act because you got a black president. What did we have running this country? Children? Is it the Ku Klux Klan running the country, or what? Nazi group? What's going on? Wasn't the Constitution put in effect in 1789? That was 232 years ago. So that was put together based on information that existed over 232 years ago. Right, the Constitution. So are we going to throw that away next? Is that what we're doing? That what we're headed at? Get rid of the Constitution? Like, I can see that coming. You got a dictatorship. You don't need a Constitution. Anyway, that is definitely more than 40 years, and racism still afflicts the USA today. What does the political success of one black man, one black politician, have to do with the progress, right, of the black people in the USA? I don't get it. Is Obama representing all black folks? Somebody help me out with that, because I'm slow. Because that makes no sense to me. Why would you even say something stupid like that? But you know what? That's their argument. And that, I would have had to call them stupid to their face. What does the political success of one black man have to do with the progress of a whole group of people in the United States, huh? Obama produced no legislation that specifically empowered or target the condition, plight, and oppression of black people in the United States. That argument is like saying, y'all had a black president. What else do you N-words want? I don't recall the Black Panthers demanding a black president in their 10-point program, or Martin Luther King praying for a black president at the mountaintop, or Malcolm X teaching that black folks need a black president by any means necessary. What the? A black president of the United States is indicative of a change in something, but hardly indicative of the absence of racism or systemic disenfranchisement in America. It just seems like some people just get to say whatever they want to say, do whatever they want to do. Obama's 8-year presidential stunt may have stirred the racist hornet nest or poked the racist bear to the point of wanting to make America great again. Blacks turning out in record numbers to vote for Biden didn't help either. Black folks are wondering, when was America great? Hold up. What y'all talking about making it great again? Like when? 50 years ago? Like when? 100? 200? When? Would that be when slavery was legal and America was the major producer of cotton on the planet? When the South made the North rich? Or in 1863, Lincoln freed the slaves in the Southern states that had seceded from the Union? Or the following period of Jim Crow racial segregation and disenfranchisement laws, literacy tests, vagrancy laws, and prerequisites and intimidation. I ain't even mentioned lynching and raping of black people because it's nasty. Officially, these things were officially enforced from about 1868 to 1965. To discourage blacks from voting then and unofficially till this very day. Or when Martin Luther King was murdered in 1964 while envisioning a world where all men were treated with respect and equality. That time period? Or was it when the Black Panther Party had to take up arms against the racist quasi-military police organizations terrorizing the black community in 1966 till this present day? We still had that problem. When was America great? And when? Who was it great for? Because we still waiting for that. That black president, that didn't do nothing for me. That was a historic event for this country because of its history of racism and oppression of black folks. That was a historical event. Hey, you got a black man in the White House coming through the front door. I'm not going to take away from that. But as I said, he was president of the United States, not the president of black folks. So we want people, leave us alone. Stop effing with us, just to put it on, you know, shortly. Stop. Leave us alone. Don't mess with us. don't try to stop us from doing what we have to do. That's what we want. You don't gotta love us. Anyway, what is sad is America could be great. It could. It has the tools to do it. It simply has to want to be great. Maybe America is still in its infancy, and that would explain why we see these so-called grown men having tantrums, being narcissistic, and unable to exit the terrible twos. Making it difficult to vote now is no different than making it difficult to vote during Jim Crow. The only way to combat laws that were specifically designed to disenfranchise blacks is to create legislation that is specifically designed to empower blacks in America. Remember, you get all this sneaky, cruel stuff that people try to come up with. Gotta go. Because if you want to be a great country, you have to be a great country. You have to be great representatives of the country. Black power has always been a bad word in this country, except to black people. What is scary is that the Republicans are gaining traction with legislation that supports the obvious and egregious voter suppression. That's scary. That's not scary like, oh, I'm afraid, scary. That's just a scary thing that they're able to do. It's 2021. They say they're not racist, yet they're doing all this race-based, you know, we see all this race-based type of behavior, legislation, and things like that. But it's not a racist country. Republicans have removed the restraints or watchdogs, and now they are free to disrupt voting in targeted districts. Hell, they are free to create districts. Anyway, from the New York Times. Sorry about that. Y'all got on a soapbox a little bit. But it's a very serious problem right here, because these people are about to do, if we thought they were doing what they wanted to do, I'm talking about us, contemporary us, because I know it's not been that long. They've been doing what they want to do for a long time, because this whole thing, Martin Luther King was marching, you know, less than 60 years ago. Black Panthers, that wasn't a long time ago. Civil Rights Act, Voting Rights Act, that wasn't a long time ago. Black folks, you know, marching, getting hosed, beaten, dogs sicked on them by the police in a nonviolent march. So if you're wondering why some of these nonviolent marches where police attacked some of them. But it's like that thing about the scorpion. Scorpion is going to be a scorpion. You know, so these guys are in the habit of doing that. So some of them, you know, old habits die hard. So that's what they do. They did what they do historically. You don't have to take my word for it. You can go see pictures of film. Black folks being in a nonviolent protest. Everybody know Martin Luther King wasn't trying to rumble. And you can see them being attacked by our white folks. Dogs, hoses, fire hoses, and it's crazy. Batons and all that stuff. Texas announced shortly after the decision that a voter identification law that had been blocked, right? A voter identification law that had been blocked would go into effect immediately. Now you need voter identification to vote, to exercise your right to vote. And that redistricting maps there would no longer need federal approval. All right, do what you want to do. Right, change it. Stack the deck. Deal from the bottom. Because we just changed the rules of the game. Mid-game, we just changed the rules again. And we got approval. So, the rights protected by the Voting Rights Act bill are obsolete because white folks don't create barriers to voting for minorities, particularly blacks, as evidenced by a black president. Did we hear that right? Is that kind of like saying, isn't that like saying that N-word was able to get into the White House? If we was restricting votes, he would never have made it there. It's like saying that. If white folks had created barriers to voting for blacks and minorities, they could have prevented Barack Obama from becoming the president and made sure that Trump was reelected to office, right? Blacks are only 13% of the population, but they must be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Latinos are 18%, and Asians are 5.9%. Indians, 1.3% of the U.S. population. Whites are 60% of the U.S. population. All that so that the Republicans can create barriers to voting for blacks and other minorities. Creating barriers to anyone's right to exercise their right to vote is unethical and unconstitutional. Something is wrong with this picture. Are we supposed to trust these people, Republicans, on the judicial system? Or anyone who supports this ludicrous idea? Seems like Jim Crow is back with a vengeance. Minorities voting and impacting on an election in a perceived adverse way appears to be a political threat to the Republicans. In short, so-called democracy is a threat to Republicans. From the Constitution annotated, from constitution.congress.gov, Amendment 15S1.1.1.1. Right to Vote Clause, Doctrine and Practice, Fifth Amendment, Section 1. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States. The United States, isn't the Supreme Court a part of the United States? Or am I, somebody help me out. Did I get this wrong? Or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude? Racial gerrymandering. Now, see, they took this. This is what I think they did. I said, well, that's about race. But really, it was about, like they said, the rights of the citizens of the United States shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Now, they took that to mean, well, we're not doing the race thing no more, right, or the color thing. As I read previously, gerrymandering is something that it's a political move to gain power through votes, right? And denying votes, right? To favor a particular political party. Why do we have to keep writing laws for these criminals? Do we have to say that's wrong? Like, if you don't say that it's wrong, then it's not wrong? Come on. Is that where we're going with this? There was a reason for the Voting Rights Act. And they got rid of the Voting Rights Act and did exactly, right, started doing exactly the things that what the Voting Rights Act were in place to prevent, even though they were doing it anyway with the Voting Rights Act. But they got rid of it and immediately started doing exactly what the Voting Rights Act said that you can't do, right? Denied or the voting rights were denied or abridged by the United States, right, Supreme Court, and by the state on account of race, color, and previous condition of servitude, right? Gerrymandering, the court series of decisions interpreting the Equal Protection Clause as requiring the proportionate and districting of state legislators solely on the basis of population had its beginning in Goldmillion and Lightfoot, in which the court found a violation of the 15th Amendment in the redrawing of municipal boundary line into a 28-sided figure that excluded from the city all but four or five of the 40 black citizens, but no white citizens, and that thereby continued white domination of municipal elections. Did you hear this? So basically, you could do it as long as you don't say you're doing it based on a person impede their right to vote, as long as you don't do it based on their race or have it written down that it's based on race, because this is when things were overt. So you got to understand, back in these days, in those days, they call you an N-word in a minute. String you up. They burnt down successful black communities all the time. All right, it's not one or two like you might think they are, Rosewood and Black Wall Street. So this is when things were overt. So they said, okay, on account of race, you can't do it. So these guys are taking the race out, the word race, black, or ethnicity out, and just going and do it in a way that it impacts on the particular race that they want to impact on. That's what's going on. It's the same thing. And if I could figure that out from reading, I know the Supreme Court justices know it. The guys, the five that voted for it, abolishing the Voting Rights Act, saying it was obsolete. I know they know it. I'm not deep into politics, but you don't have to. Politics are not, it's not rocket science. Anyway, subsequent decisions, particularly concerning the validity of multi-member districting and alleged dilution of minority voting power, were decided under the Equal Protection Clause and in City of Mobile versus Bolden in the course of a considerably divided decision with respect to the requirement of discriminatory motivation in 15th Amendment cases. A plurality of the court sought to restrict the 15th Amendment to cases in which there is official denial or abridgment of the right to register to vote and to exclude indirect dilution claims. Are they kidding? The judicial view of the amendment, it is in its initial appraisals of the amendment, the Supreme Court appeared to emphasize only its purely negative aspect. The 15th Amendment, it announced, did not confer the right to vote upon anyone, but merely vested the citizens of the United States with a new constitutional right, which is exemption from discrimination in the exercise of the elective franchise on the account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. This is called interpretation. All right, so if you're a citizen of the United States, you have a right to vote. It says, now we got people playing games with the interpretation. But in subsequent cases, the court conceded that this article has originally been construed as giving no affirmative right to vote as having been designed primarily to prevent the discrimination. It was designed to prevent discrimination because they already had the right to vote. This is some of the most BS I've ever heard. They had the right to vote. They were citizens, so they had a right to vote. Same right as white folks had to vote, but that right was being infringed upon. I don't even like talking. It's kind of making me pissing me off just even talking about it. I'm gonna go on with the show. Because this is ridiculous that people are able to do, just say what they want to say, and do what they want to do. Things are bad enough with all these laws that people are making that are wicked, evil laws, and then people want to come back and find another way to bring this stuff back. Then when people decide they want to raise up against this stuff, they want to look at them as the evil ones, when you know you've done an evil thing. Just like violence begets more violence, or evil begets more evil. Can't just keep committing evil acts against people. You can't be against people and expect the people not to be against you. These guys are facilitating conflict. Just because they don't want to be fair. This is a bunch of BS. I'm tired of just reading it. Are we really listening to these guys? These guys, they have law degrees. Blacks had the reason why they had these Voting Rights Act is because blacks already had the right to vote. But somehow they put it on the Voting Rights Act. So say that's obsolete because we're not prohibited them from voting, and then they went right into prohibiting blacks, minorities from voting. They went right to it. So if they went right into that when the Voting Rights Act was shot down, do you think they weren't doing that before that? They just got the lead, the green light. See, when that's like slavery. You know, you can enslave somebody, but if you get the government to say legal, then you off to the races. We got to call it. I'm getting a little pissed off here. Excuse me, y'all. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, what's up, Carl?
What's up, Cute?
This is Cute. They're disgusting. You know, it's all about manipulation and trying to get what they want. As long as they get what they want, they don't care how they manipulate the laws and all that type of stuff like that. But one of the things that really bothers me about this thing is that, like, just like you said, they were targeting black people openly. And then what they did was they changed their language. They said that they was trying to make sure that everything is trying to make sure that people who are supposed to vote are voting. People who are legally able to vote are voting. they're keeping elections clean, they're using all that type of language like that.
Right.
But what they did was they targeted activities of black people.
Right.
You know what I mean? They target the efforts to organize, such as getting people together on a bus and riding to the polls, collecting ballots, and things like that. All these things that black people do, going to early voting on whatever particular day or whatever at church or something like that. Everything that black people do, they targeted it and they made it against the law. Just like they did when they had Reconstruction.
Right.
The black people didn't have any jobs and all that type of stuff like that.
Couldn't read. You got to read this. Like,
huh? Right.
What?
But
you just told me you'd kill me if I read.
They made it a law. Right. And they made it a law against them to kind of like stand around. It became a law where they could arrest you for
vagrancy
that.
Laws.
Loitering and all that kind of vagrancy. Yeah. Right, right. So that's what they do. They look at the things that people doing and they make it against the law, and then we make the laws, so we got all these people here up on this thing like that. But another thing that's so frustrating about that, knowing that they have a history of doing this, you got these black people and their party giving them the thumbs up on it. You know what I mean? They co-signing and everything.
Fat dancing.
It's like, hey, it's like, what are you talking about? It don't matter what party's doing it. It's the fact that they're doing it.
Right.
To this population. It don't matter that before it was Democrats doing it and now it's Republicans doing it. You know what I mean? Because
right.
they like to make that distinction because at one time the enemy to the black people were Democrats, and Republicans were the friends of the, they freed the slaves and yada, yada, yada. You know what I mean? They try to go down there with that. It doesn't matter.
All it didn't happen anyway. Matter. That's not even true. They didn't, all them white boys did not die to free some black slaves. Do you really think that's why they died for that war to free some slaves?
Exactly that. But also, it doesn't matter what party did what. With those circumstances, it's about who's targeting our people, and they just don't even look at that. They just forgot. It's like our people don't matter to them.
They don't care.
Elections, and we got to keep them clean.
Yeah. When was the election ever just clean anyway? When was that?
I don't know.
When Trump won, I was like, man, something must have happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How did he even win? He's not even qualified to be president. How did he even get as far as he got? He has no qualification to be president of nothing. He's not even known to be a great businessman.
Right.
So that makes no sense. I know the whole world is laughing at us. During this whole 4 years, they was looking, scratching their head about the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be like, how did he get in office? And right then, I've seen like some voter stuff might have happened there, but nobody cried about it. But I was like, whoa, something's happening there.
Man, his personality appealed to them. He said those things that they all wanted to say. Make them feel good to call people niggas and stuff like that again. And, you know, like I was saying, just say those mean things they always wanted to say. He made them like that one guy, I forget, he was some kind of Nazi or something like that. He made him feel free to say and do things he wanted to do. They say it all the time.
Well, they're doing what they want to do right now. And they're doing it by law. By law. And it's like, by law, that don't mean law. Don't, in this country, historically, law does not mean right. Law does not mean ethical and moral. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, that's right.
So just because they abolished the voting rights law, which is BS, based on some 40-year-old information, the Constitution is over 200 years old. Are you going to throw that away, too?
Yep.
That's based on some old stuff. And then you're going to create some stuff that hurts other people. Like, you got the nerve to do that. You got the audacity to do something like that. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, the so-called people of color that's going along with that, Republican or Democrat, there is evil at the people that are supporting that type of legislation. Just because black people came out to vote, helped each other vote, right? You know, did something in unison, right? They said, oh, no. You know, anytime we do something in unison, it's shot down because it's a sign that we're gaining traction, gaining some power,
right.
Sense of unity. Black people united, black power is a threat, right?
Right.
To white supremacy.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Even to the point where they want to make it criminal to get somebody water while they're standing in line.
That is a sign. That is a sign of how corrupt and evil this thing is. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
If they allow somebody to be a federal offense for giving somebody a glass of water for standing in line, then it's time for us to do something. We need to do something else. Because that right there says we're in trouble.
Yeah.
That in person have the nerve to put that in the legislation. It's an insult, man.
Yeah.
Can't get nobody in water or food or feed them. They standing in line. And the next time we had a vote, everybody should come out there with some water, start giving out waters. What the hell's wrong with them? Making giving somebody water a federal offense. That's a dictatorship, man. That's what they do in dictatorships.
Mm-hmm.
That's a democracy. How many people would vote on? Let's put that thing on a ballot somewhere. See who would go for that nonsense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Put it on a ballot. How the hell did they even get to? How did they get to even say that? There's a lot of it's so much BS involved, and it's just like. It's like, oh, my God, it's like, yo, this is crazy. Nobody's trying to do anything about this. The Supreme Court thought that's okay. Any court thought that was okay. You can't give somebody water. The Republican Party thought that was okay. We need to get rid of the Republican Party. We don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to go. Because that is ridiculous. That's tyrannical. And they're trying to just, the hell with the law, the hell with the Constitution. We're going to think of a reason why to get rid of the Voting Rights Act. And then we're going to do exactly what they said what we said is not happening. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen for our interests. Get the hell out of here. Something's wrong with that picture, man. That's egregious, man, that everybody in this country. Hold on, Kill. I got another call. Did you finish?
I was gonna say something about the ex-con thing too. That should be unconstitutional.
For voting?
Yeah. It's like they paid their debt and they're still paying. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're still paying their debt to society.
And since then, do they tell you that you can't never vote? No.
I don't know.
Not part of your sentence. That's not part of your sentence. You got
got
a 5 to 10. Yeah, you got 5 to 10, 3 to 5. You don't have no. They ain't telling you nothing like that.
Right.
So, like I said, that's voter suppression. If you're targeting black people, then you have more black people be involved in the criminal justice system, more black people be incarcerated. You targeted them, you eliminate votes. That's another way to do it. Let me get this other caller in here, man, because we're getting running out of time.
All right?
Let's hold on, bro.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to Provocative Start.
Hello, Clifton. It's me, Carol.
Hello.
I think you hit it on the head from the beginning. We already have, quote unquote, the Constitution that talks about the right to vote. Why you even need another law for anybody, even for us, as Afro-American, Black, Latino, anybody who falls under that category of suppression, makes no sense. Number two, why the Supreme Court got rid of that law makes no sense.
No
sense. And if they say, well, we haven't seen it, of course you haven't, because the law kept the people. The laws are for lawless people. You understand what I'm saying? So the law was made to stop those people who would do those things from doing those things. That's why the law was made. And as you can see, as soon as the law was rescinded, here you go again. Now, you don't see anybody within the Supreme Court. And I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it was Arizona. It was one state that has voter and voting law changes, and they went before the Supreme Court. They lost. In other words, the Supreme Court saying they could do it. And whoever the commentator was on this news thing, he was saying that doesn't look good for the other states that will go before the Supreme Court.
Right.
Now, you would think at this point that the Supreme Court should be looking and seeing that they've made a serious mistake. You understand what I'm saying?
Do they care? I think they know. But listen, if I'm saying it, they know.
Right. Yeah, it was purposeful. It was purposeful. And then, again, this is sort of like this backlash that you get when a certain class of people get angry because they feel as though Black people have, you know, done something like how when they voted, Obama was voted in. You got a lot of backlash from that. This is kind of called like white rage. You know, anytime Black people show some type of advancement or expression through voting or whatever, you know, they get mad and they come up with a law to suppress. So this is what you're seeing, because they were mad because Trump lost the election, you know, and that's the way it is. You only have one winner, you know, and he lost. And I think it's interesting how they could come up quickly with these voter suppression laws, but these guys can't even deal with, say, like the Capitol issue. You know what I mean? They don't even want to face that. What do you mean? They're just touring. You know, they're just tourists, you know. You know, they can't deal with that like they're supposed to. But people who were exercising their right to vote according to the Constitution, they didn't break the law. They didn't need to come up with law. There was no law broken. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say. This is why the Supreme Court did it. Was purposeful and was stupid. And this is what you're seeing is white rage, which they have some people talk about it on YouTube, but it's called white rage. It's a backlash against Black people when they get mad. Usually, all I know was associated with Obama being elected president. The Tea Party came about. Right.
Yeah. This is crazy, though. This is so bizarre. It's like, yo, this is a circus, and it's the worst kind of circus you can go to. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, man. It's so overt. It's all up in your face, just like back in the day, like,
yeah,
it's all
not
in your face.
It's not hitting at all. Not at all. You know, and the other party, which is no better as far as I'm concerned, they can't come together to counter the things that these people are doing, because within that group, they have subgroups. You know, but one thing about that party, you could be the person's enemy, it seems like, but just to get something done. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They stand in solidarity. Mostly. They wouldn't even impeach this guy. The vice president almost was, you know, they went there to kill him. He wouldn't even use the 25th Amendment, you know, just standing in solidarity for a guy who actually was showing that he was out of control.
Right.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And still, they did
no respect
nothing.
For the Constitution.
No respect for the Constitution. And then these people.
Do we need a constitution to tell us what's right and wrong? That's what I'm saying. Like, yo, come on. Now, that's wrong, man. It's evil.
Apparently, well, when you read in the Bible, the law is for the lawless. There are some people who are good by nature. But according to the Bible, before the law was written, people didn't even know what sin was. They were just living. You understand what I'm saying? But once the law came, now people realize that this was sin, and they died. You understand what I'm saying? Not a physical death, but, you know, it's a recognition of spiritual death. So the law is always written for the lawless. Why do you need a law when you stop at the stop? It's not for you. But when that guy who doesn't stop at that stop sign causes an accident, maybe he doesn't cause an accident, he can be penalized. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because he has broken the law. And it says if you do this, this is the consequences for your action. So even within the, what do you call them, people, the Senate and the Congress, they're breaking laws left and right. You know what I mean? This seems like a time of lawlessness amongst your leadership. And it's blatant. So you have laws really to deal with these issues, but they turn a blind eye and a deaf ear, you know, and make all these excuses for this behavior. But really, there's laws in place already to deal with that. But all of a sudden, it's like, well, you know, they don't know if they can make the connection between the president inciting these people to go to the Capitol. You know, it's almost like it's this gap, according
right.
to them. You know, we can't really put, you know, these dots together, but we can't really say that, or we can say that, but we can't really prove that. You know, just nonsense.
Right.
You know, it's just nonsense.
It's nonsense is going to impact on black people in particular and minorities, you know. And,
I think as far as black people, you're still in the same boat. Stop looking for the government to do for you stuff that you could do for yourself. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You need to stop giving them the power of control. And then something else I noticed too about this society as to where we're going, everything now is about control. You understand what I'm saying?
About control. Power and control, that's the name
I'm
of the
saying,
game.
Yeah, but I'm saying the control. Okay, the control is getting tighter. That's what I'm saying.
The loose is getting tighter. That's right. It's a choke chain. That's right.
The control
and, you know, like,
is getting tighter over everything.
Yeah. But they said, but they're trying to make sure they win. That's the whole thing about the Republicans win. Republicans rule. White supremacy rule. I don't care how many black Republicans they are. They're going for this. For this ideology, then they the dogs of these people, you know, because if you go for that kind of thing, then you you are black or minority, then you at the footstool of the party that whose ideology that is. And this is some egregious,
well, they
evil stuff.
They call them gatekeepers. Those people are kind of safe. They feel as though they're safe. You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Then they're
okay.
used to keep the masses at bay. Okay.
Right. Bye-bye. We got to go. I want to thank everybody. We Talk Productions. Blog Talk Radio, Kenneth Jones, and all the callers and listeners. Peace out, y'all. Each one reach one, each one teach one.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in Four Park without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.